We'll be beginning on page 4040. We had a good discussion last time on the different Bibles. Before that, we had manuscripts and those things that pertain to the reliability of the book we call the Bible. I want to begin the class today, before we go over these five verses, with an exercise. And I want you to pull out your Bibles, and we're going to look at some verses. And there'll be more than a few, but it's going to get us conditioned somewhat to think about the notes that are placed in Scripture in the Bibles that we have. Some Bibles have extensive notes pertaining to the verses in Scripture. Some are a little lax on that. Some so-called Bibles add words and they italicize them. Some mainstream Bibles don't italicize those words that they add. So those are things to look at. But especially the notes tonight in reference to manuscripts. Manuscripts, which we've, again, looked at that pretty thoroughly. And if we see notes in Scripture and it shows a reference to a manuscript, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that these men who put these versions and translations together, and even the men before them, those who were scholars, those who were knowledgeable, those who cared about truth, and some didn't, they compared manuscripts and they wanted in their mind to have the best fidelity of Scripture they could have. And I'm giving them the doubt there, no doubt on that. But the point is, they placed in certain versions, and some are better than others, that when they made variances in the words, when they tried to include the original words, when they gave looking at all the manuscripts, well, this one has this in it and these don't have this, but we intended to put this word or words in your Bible. And that's for us to get to the truth. And so I just want to look at some, in your Bible tonight, we'll start off the class by going looking at some versions. And you may already be aware, but those notes that are in the Scriptures, whether Seneca or other side or whatever it is, they're important to know and to recognize. Because you'll see in some versions, some translations, they're just not there. Or they've added words. And again, that's for your knowledge and your understanding to look at those. And again, the whole backdrop of this is all the manuscripts that were available to these translators. And that's very positive that you see these translations that we have and those people, the scholars that have worked on these Bibles that you have looked at those manuscripts prayerfully in a truthful mode to see the truth and for you to understand and see the truth. And then, of course, when they look at the manuscripts, some may have certain words in them or phrases, and some may not. Well, it's a great decision to say we're going to print that in the Bible that we produce, or we're not going to print that in the Bible we produce. And that's for you to understand and see. I'm using the New American Standard, and what I've done, I've taken some verses that have, I guess not questions, but changes because of manuscripts. I just want you to look into your Bibles that you have in front of you and see what kind of notes you have in center columns in reference to these. And I know we talked a little last class about the NASB, New American Standard 2020. So I went ahead and took the 2020 and compared it to the King James. And are there changes? Do they note the changes? You know, what did the 2020 do with those changes? And again, there's so many versions in between that he may have some different notes. But I just wanted to start off like Acts 3:36. If you turn to that. And again, this is to make you aware in your Bible that there's some importance to those references to early manuscripts, late manuscripts, many manuscripts, a few manuscripts. See?
Which verse?
Acts 8:36. In Acts 8:36, it's a good verse. You see that. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" But when you look at verse 37, do you have a note? Do you have a note in your Bible? Yes, you do, don't you? Okay. Who shook their head? Susan, you shook your head. Read me that note you have. Oh, it's those little notes. Okay.
And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God."
And did it say anything?
It says late manuscript, insert verse 37.
Right.
Because I'm over here looking at the English Standard Version. That verse isn't even in there.
Okay. It's 36:38. Very interesting, isn't it? Okay. Let's see. I'm going to stand and do some public reading. And have y'all heard the verse over and over that says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may"? And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Yes. Okay. And it's interesting to have those footnotes and to look in your Bible. Because, again, if you're doing public reading, and you've heard those verses, well, where'd it go? Well, it's in that center column reference, okay? It's reference. And they have made a conscious decision in some versions, some translation, to leave it in and to not put it in, okay? And it's like when I have the verse here, okay, in the New American Standard 2020, it just jumps, just like here, 36 to 38. No 37s there? And it says 36 and 38.
The English Standard does have a
But when you're reading it, if you're reading it, you know, what I'm saying is when you read them, kind of look at if there's a letter shows up or numbers, especially numbers show up. And in some of these, it's going to have brackets, which is a little more important. Let's, how about Acts 15:33? Okay. Okay. And yours is basically going to read, "And they had spent some time there. They were sent away from the brothers and sisters in peace to those who had sent them out." Does it jump from 33 to 35 in any year? It sure does, doesn't Elizabeth? Okay. And the note would say, "Late manuscripts added at verse 34, but it seemed good to Silas to remain there." I'm going to go over some more, but I want to preface the idea of why I'm saying this. When you have those who would go into combat with you about the book that you have, you know where they go first? Look, you don't have all the scriptures. Look, you've got this. And if you go to the King James, those verses are going to be in there. Okay, some verses don't have it. Well, look at the confusion you're doing. Look. See, so that's the idea. That's the idea when we look at these different verses. And Acts 24:6. Okay, a little longer one here. Verse 6 reads well. "And he even tried to desecrate the temple. So indeed we arrested him." Uh-oh. Seven missing in yours? verse 7. And again, I'm doing the NASB 2020. It's not there. And it must be a long note here in your Bible. What does the long note say for verse 7? Yep. That's the rest of verse 6.
But the note says that the end of verse 6, 7, and the beginning of verse 8 are included. Mine doesn't say left out. Mine says not included in the early manuscripts.
Right. So, not included in early manuscripts. As a general rule, when we went through the class about the inclusiveness, the completeness of manuscripts, what did we think about first? What time frame for manuscripts? Earlier? Early would tend, in a general sense, okay, tends to be the more accurate. Because as time goes by, you may have scribal changes, scribal omissions, whatever it is, okay? Inconsistencies, duplications, on and on. Again, they didn't have a printing press. They didn't have it on a flash drive. It was just a copy situation. So it may say later manuscripts. It may say earlier manuscripts. And so that's something we evaluate as we read verses and study verses. And a good Bible is going to show you in those where there's verses missing. Now, it's a little hard to do, again, like I say, public reading when you got to, but it's things to look at ahead of time if you're doing public reading, okay? And are there a lot of these? There's a fair amount. And some of these, again, those who would criticize your faith as based in Scripture are going to bring up. So I'm just trying to make you aware of those changes. Now, how about Acts 28:28? And again, we're judging the Bible that you have now also. How is it? Okay? Does it omit those verses? Does it add them in? Does it even recognize the missing verses? Okay, and how extensive is the note? Acts 28:28. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. Uh-oh. What's happening next? The NAS 2020 doesn't have a verse 29. I'm sure some of yours doesn't either. And what does the note say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this there's a note here. It says late manuscripts, see, early and late, adds verse 29. When he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. If I'm reading in my Bible, and I say, whoa, that verse is not there. Do I still read it? Yeah. Because they've made a decision, in my thoughts, they've made a conscious decision to put that verse in there. Now, it's up to you in the version that you have. I know in my NAS 95, the verse is in there. It doesn't just jump from 28 to 30, or 28 to 30. It's in there and has a note on the verse. And in my mind, that's a good thing to do because first of all, they're showing you the question, but they also want to stay with the verses. You know, if they're showing the verse anyway, you know, in the notes, why not put it in the column itself? Now, I just picked some from Acts there. Well, and I'll just do maybe a few more here. Now, the Gospels. Again, Gospel is the same idea. Let's see. How about Matthew 17:20? We should notice I'm starting with the verse before the verse that I'm that I'm interested in. Matthew 17, 20. And he said to them, because of your meager faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here, there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Uh-oh. Verse 21. Who has verse 21 in their Bible? Okay. And it's an interesting thing. So 22 says, and it's a note, late manuscripts. Oh, here's late ones. Add traditionally, I don't know some of those implications they got, but traditionally, verse 21, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So these would be where in your scriptures for these. Now that was Matthew. Let me move a little bit on this. And this has impact on the verses we're going to look at, especially when other religions say, look, there's errors in your Bible. Big errors. Okay? And you shouldn't, what's the idea? If you say there's big errors in it, or errors in it, or it's not complete, what you have in your hand, what's the implication of that?
Faulty, it's not reliable.
I'm lose trust, begin to doubt.
Okay.
Well, that's an interesting question. Theirs, which I mentioned last class, they don't want it examined. They won't list scholars. They don't pull up as many. They're not looking for as many translations or fragments or whatever it is. Interesting, isn't it? And mainly this, I mean this kindly, and yes, maybe not. But the point is, they don't want it examined. Because no one likes error, do they? Big error. Okay? And an attitude of scholars that translated your scriptures have the right attitude. Let's look at all the manuscripts. And you decide, because who's responsible for your eternal life in heaven or in hell? You are. It's your book of life. Not mine, not this congregation as a group. Your book of life. And I think that's admirable myself. Okay? And again, you need to have a Bible that reflects that attitude, I guess you'd say, that they want to show you what they got. Yes, sir.
You know, we were talking the other day about the benefits of digital Bibles.
Yes.
And if you have a digital Bible, I highly recommend that any version you get, like NSAB, that you always get one with Strong's numbers, which will have the version and a plus sign. The benefit of that in a digital copy, on the plus, you have the Strong's number, but you have all the footnotes, you have all the references, you can easily access. So that kind of takes advantage of a printed copy Bible versus having it on a digital. And the other point is, if someone picks up a version of the Bible that doesn't have a verse, well, having a digital copy of many different versions, you can easily look at that particular verse and see all the versions and let the text show on that. So that kind of dilutes their argument. What's not in the text? Well, you say, well, yeah, it's in the King James or whatever version. So there are some benefits of digital.
Yeah, certainly a good avenue to look at. And then cross-referencing, looking at different references. Now, can you go crazy with all those references? You can. But again, this is your eternal life is involved. Yes, ma'am.
I think it's helpful to understand that the italics and the parentheses and the care that they did that is a sign that they cared about the scripture, you know, and the contextual criticism of it, so that we would have the right. So be aware, you know, when you buy a Bible, look and see if it's got parentheses, if it's got italics, if it's got the notes, the literal, you know, what it is and everything. And that way you can see exactly what it is.
Yes, ma'am. Good. Good. Let's see. Let's look at Matthew 23:13. And again, do I do heavy research to find these? No, no. You can check it out. It's not a heavy research item. Matter of fact, you can pretty well take your Bible and kind of look down the center column, and you can find MSS there. But it is a little unnerving sometimes to see that they went from verse 26 to, you know, to 28. You think about that, especially when they didn't print it in it. Am I recommending New American Standard 95? Yeah, that's what I'm recommending. Or other Bibles that actually put the verse in there with the note. All right. Matthew 23:13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven in front of people, for you do not enter it yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Okay, that's an important thing, dealing with the Pharisees and the hypocrites and the scribes. So wait a minute now, where's 14? Where's verse 14? Elizabeth is not there, is it? Okay. And in the notes I've got, late manuscripts add, traditionally again, verse 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, even while for appearance's sake you make long prayers, therefore you'll receive greater condemnation. And then again, you got Mark 12:40 and Luke 20:47 in that note. Important things if you deal with, where's the condemnation of scribes and Pharisees? Where they are in error from times in their thinking and their attitude. Yeah, there's a verse. There's a verse. But don't be apprehensive, in my view, not to use that verse. Because, again, it's in manuscripts. They found it in manuscripts. Sometimes it's late manuscripts, early manuscripts. They may have one or two, or 17 out of 23. Okay, whatever it is. But they've made a conscious decision to include those verses. Don't be afraid to use those when you talk. And, again, be aware of the counter views on that. And I'm just about through here. I'm doing kind of each gospel. That's what I'm doing here. Mark 7:15. You probably heard what's been left out in this one. And maybe some of you are already ahead of me. But Mark 7:15. There is nothing outside the person which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which come out of the person are what defile the person. Uh-oh, verse 16. Later manuscripts add verse 16. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, I've heard that before. See? Okay. Things to think about in Scripture. Now, and let me do, and this is all prefaced when we get to the verses we're going to look at, some of the major verses they go after. And here's John 10:29. It says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Well, that's it. We've used snatch them out of my hand before, okay? Dealing with, you know, you cannot fall from grace and that sort of thing because you're in the hand of God. But, okay, on one early manuscript, says in mine, say one early manuscript in yours.
What verse?
29, John 10:29. One early manuscript says, what my Father has given me is greater than all. Okay, okay. So it's I'm not saying it changes these early manuscripts or late manuscripts. You be the judge whether it changes the truth. I'll use that word. Generally, overwhelmingly, probably doesn't. Okay, because you can find those truths other and you don't have contradictions. But there's things to know that these men are earnestly, these scholars, trying to give you the full facts, the full story. And again, for you to investigate. And one last one in Romans 3:28. Romans 3:28. This is an easy one. To show you could go a little bit here and there, just a word. And this word doesn't any real significance. That's why we say when you find discrepancies in the scriptures, don't be afraid of those. Okay? And like Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Well, I've heard that. But guess what? An early manuscript has therefore instead of for. Big deal, right? See? So they can go many extreme. Now, there's some that are pretty involved. I didn't include those. But things for you to look at when you have that center column reference, or you have good notes in the Bible that you have. I pulled a Bible off my shelf at home and I opened it. Well, there is no center column reference. There is no references. Okay, and it's King James. And that's okay. But if you've got countering people that want to discredit and question your trust in the scriptures that you had, they're going to use things like these. So just be aware of that is what I wanted to make you. Yes, sir.
I'll reiterate what you said about classes, but when it comes to a historically accurate document, and with the history that the Bible has had, from the manuscripts found, from the multiple manuscripts, more than any other of a document in its age, and then from the storied past where it has been perverted, where it has been misused, where it has been used as a weapon, I don't think you could find any more accurate, you know, document. And we're still going to be talking 98%, 99%.
That's right.
We still have to have faith, though. I mean, that's the thing here. I mean, there's an understanding and a confidence knowing that these are the words that were written for us, especially the way the Bible, most Bibles right now are written, and the fact that we're going to give you all the information like you decide. I mean, the message doesn't change. I mean, there may be verses left out, but if you're using your study tools, if you're using context and harmony that interpret what the
That's right.
context, doesn't change anything. So the to me, it seems to be a weak argument to say, well, you don't have the entire scripture when you have thousands of years, when you have so many different manuscripts and so many people striving just for the accuracy of just calling it a historical document, not even an inspired word, you know. And so it's just seems to me to be a weak argument when you have what we talked about the last 4 or 5 classes.
Exactly right. And Keith used a couple of key words there, historical document. That's what I've been trying to do in section 4, to give you confidence that this we have is historical documents. Now, you can question whether there's been discrepancies in the copying of them, but we've got historical documents. And the New Testament is really got a lot of data in the verification of what you have in your hand. And it's, like you say, what, 95%, 99%. And again, that other few percent, guess what? You can check your center column reference, can't you? You can check that verse out. You know? Whether it's adultery or, you know, or sexual immorality. Okay? You can check that out. And then maybe that's don't let your faith worry you if you see discrepancies or notes. Okay? And so, and you'll find the those who oppose Scripture, okay, are going to find those weak points and go after you. And again, to promote doubt. You still need to investigate. You still need to know yourself. Okay? But you've got a good historical document. One sister here this evening, tonight, told me that this, what we've had here in our hands, is truth. And that going through all these episodes we went through on this the course so far, that she's built her confidence up in this. And in reference to that, the idea that there's many, many people, scholars, that have lost their lives to bring you this document. not going to make, well, maybe I'll make this parallel or not. We have freedoms today in this country because of what? Lives lost. In the founding of this country, lives lost. And that's something to not be shoved away quickly. Was there faith in bringing correct translations? Good? Yes. We talked about English translations. Bringing that to us, that's a big deal because we speak English. But there's a lot of effort in history behind that. So just a thought on that. Okay, so I just wanted to bring that up. Now, any questions on that? So I took a lot of time on that, but I wanted to make that point. I guess I can make this point while I'm here now, too. Our next major religion, and our first major religion, okay, is going to be Islam. And one of their arguments is, you had the Torah, you know, and it's got error in it. And you got the other books that may be minor prophets. There's errors in those. And there's errors in the major prophets. And there's errors in wisdom. And oh no, there's errors in the New Testament, which would just touch the hem of the garment here on. Well, don't worry about those prophets. God couldn't keep those words right. He couldn't keep those words as you could trust them all through time. But guess what we have in our hands? We've got the Quran that we can trust because Muhammad got it. We got it in the language and in our hands. Well, if God saved those people, were the instructions to them correct? Did they live by the words they had? Well, no, it was an error. No. That's what, you know, I say no. They say, yeah, they lived in error. But you go to the Quran, that's true. You can go to heaven with this book and this teaching and the interpretation of it. So it's a good argument that you used. Okay? I hope I stated that right. All right? So be aware of that. Okay? And again, when we go into Islam, they've studied it. They've looked at it. And it'll test you. And I like to be tested by some people. But still, yes, sir.
The Quran was written over a period of about 23, 24 years, historically. I talked to someone who was a Muslim historian. That's what I believe he told me. When we look at the Bible is written over an extended period of time, thousands of years.
Yes.
So the big difference between the Bible and the Quran, as far as detail, as far as how long it took to be written, and we keep unearthing proof of the fact that all these things in the Bible has written over the years are true, and you can keep discovering the Dead Sea Scrolls, old writings, thousands of years old, writings from Daniel to prove that his prophecies were written hundreds and thousands of years before these events took place.
Is the thing in your Bible historical events? Yes. Archaeology has proved it. I'm just saying it's an outside source. Okay. There's eyewitnesses. But when you get to the Quran, guess what? It's just a book. There's no eyewitnesses except Muhammad and a couple of guys around him, some kinfolks. So it doesn't have that history, historical document sense to it. It was just written. When you write a novel and call it a fiction, all right? That's you wrote a novel, it's a fiction. Doesn't have the history. Doesn't have the other corroboration. Doesn't have the eyewitnesses. Doesn't have the many, many manuscripts and efforts. So that's something to think about too. And like any, you know, some religions started, you know, and who knows, in the, I guess probably in the 1800s, a lot of things changed in the 1800s. But there's a religion starts there. Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever. Okay? Pentecostalism, United Pentecostalism started in 1914. You know, it just goes, a lot of people have starts. but you've got historical evidence here that you can trust and you can verify. So I just want to put that out. Now, in these five verses that I've got, I start with Luke 11, 2 through 4. Hopefully you looked at those. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Can you recite it by heart? More or less, right? Let's see. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven and in earth. Okay? Well, wait a minute. Okay. If I look in the King James, it says that. Our Father who art in heaven. In Luke 11, 2. 11, 2. Luke 11, 2. Excuse me. Luke 11, 2. But when I look at my NASB, it says, Father, hallowed be your name. Where? What happened to the which art in heaven? Not there. Or when you go down to thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Well, it doesn't. It says, your kingdom come. Those few words aren't there. And I guess in the last part, do not lead us into temptation. Well, in the King James, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So in this Lord's Prayer, okay, maybe the way we learned it one day, well, there's a difference. And why is there a difference? Well, you've got different versions. You've got different manuscripts. And why not? Okay, some manuscripts insert, the note on it is, some manuscripts insert phrases from Matthew 6, 9 through 13 to make the two passages closely similar. Some manuscripts did that. Some scribes did that to make them similar. But that's picked up. It's picked up in your Bible. If you got good references, don't let that discourage you, because again, if the truth is over here, it's in Matthew 9, and it's not a new truth, but it's just a difference, okay? And they pick that up in their manuscripts.
Doug, it actually adds validity to the fact that if you don't harmonize the two passages, add what's in Matthew and Luke, and tell two people the same thing, see if they can recount it to you.
That's right.
As a scribe, you wouldn't want to do that because people hear different things. They key in on different things. And so this is what Luke tried to do is he got eyewitness testimony. He got the first-hand accounts. This is what that person heard. This is what he wrote based on that testimony. You don't want to harmonize it, and it makes it more real. We've talked about this as far as detective work and everything else. No two accounts should ever be alike unless you're in cahoots.
You teach your daughter the Lord's Prayer. What happens when she reads it different? I mean, no, I'm saying, you know, a little word back and forth, but the point is, the whole piece left out. See, what does she think? Interesting. Okay? Those are things to investigate sometimes. And again, the truth is still there. But be aware in your scripture that that's going to be used as a counter argument against the validity of all the things we've talked about in section 4. And you can be strong in your faith, and you will be strong. Not to gloss over, not to say, whoops, but to say, yeah, but they're, like Keith said, they got the manuscripts, they've got them, you can investigate them. And is the meaning changed? And if you reference that into the scribes copying these things time after time after time over centuries, you know, you can see where things get in there. And again, the people we have, it compared the manuscripts, multiple manuscripts. Okay? We said 5,000 or so. So just that's something to think about there. Truth is still there. Now, the next one John 19:14. A little more difficult. You know, if you look through, investigate some of these verses, you know, some guys are just perplexed. Some of them throw up their hands. Some of them reason it out. Some of them are real truthful with their conclusions they have. It's a reasonable conclusion without questioning the validity of the words. What did it mean? And when you look at about the death of Jesus, okay, you got the King James says, and it was the preparation of Passover in about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Well, wait a minute now. Over there in Mark 15, in the same King James, and it said the third hour, and they crucified him. Well, it's sixth hour and third hour. You know, what's going on here? Okay. Well, there it is. I'm a Muslim. There's your error. If you got error there, you got error everywhere. Until you look at it. Until you look at it. One was dealing with Roman time, how they mark time. And one's dealing with Jewish time, how they mark time. And you got to be aware of those things. Bible study does that. Investigation of verses. Okay? So it's some interesting things to look at. There's a little more on that. But the point is, be aware of those time frames. And John was apparently dealing with time that was Roman time, how they accounted time. And Mark, in Mark 15:25, was dealing with Jewish time. Easy answer. But something for you to look at and investigate, especially that verse. And I wonder sometimes how a lot of commentators miss the point because they read each other's work. That's a little simplified there on that verse, but still it's something to deal with the time. And I guess also to say, too, if it says, and you'll notice in your Bible, if you look at that John 19, it'll say about 6 a.m. or about. So your notes are giving you a indication there that it wasn't exactly. It's about. Okay? I need to go buy some fresh vegetables next week. Well, what's my bookends of next week? I got a 7-day window, don't I? I guess you'd say. Right? Or we're going on vacation in the fall. Wow. I had a window. Well, it's kind of like that, too, when they said, that's why you see about 6 o'clock, third hour. See? So, and that's shown in the multiple verses. Let's see. And John does that in the John 13:1, John 18:28, and so he deals with that other time frame. So something not to be afraid of, but they go after that one. There it is. There's your error. So be aware of that, okay? And we'll continue. I want you all to look at, do an investigation on 1 John 5:7, and you'll be interested in that, okay? And thank you all very much.